Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Woman in a kayak in Sarasota, Florida, calling out to a neighbor as Tropical Storm Debbie leaves parts of the South submerged a day after making landfall as a Category 1 hurricane along the Gulf Coast. Places like Charleston, South Carolina, have already gotten about a foot of rain. Mayor William Cogswell.
We urge everybody to stay inside, stay indoors, and do not travel.
Correspondent Manuel Bajorquez is there.
Really the bullseye here, Savannah to Charleston, 12 to 18 inches of rain expected from Tropical Storm Debbie. But this is the real, like, doozy. If you look at the National Weather Hurricane Center forecast, some parts they predict could get up to 30 inches of rain, and that's where they start using words like historic and catastrophic.
Debbie is blamed for at least five deaths. After officially clinching the Democratic presidential nomination last night, Vice President Harris is expected to announce her choice for a running mate shortly. The new team will hit the campaign trail immediately. First stop, Pennsylvania. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
Philadelphia is a bastion of Democratic voters that they'll need a lot of turnout among Black voters, Hispanic voters, young voters, as well as those in the suburbs to really replicate the winning coalition Biden had in 2020.
Harris and her Republican rival are blaming each other for the worst losses on Wall Street in almost 2 years. Correspondent Nancy Cordes from the White House.
The Harris campaign say, quote, what middle class families need is steady economic stewardship, not chaotic ranting lies. Donald Trump oversaw some of the worst days in the stock market in history.
He referred to yesterday's plunge as the Kamala crash. Futures have bounced back. Dow futures up 257. NAS futures ahead 130. Google's lost its case in a historic antitrust trial. CBS's Erica Brown.
A federal judge ruled that Google has been operating as an illegal monopoly and exploiting its widely used search engine to crush competition. This included paying cell phone makers like Apple and Samsung to make Google their default search engine. The judge will decide what changes and penalties should be imposed. Google and its parent company, Alphabet, plan to appeal.
There's lots for U.S. fans to watch at the Olympics today. CBS's Wendy Gillette is in Paris.
The men's basketball team takes on Brazil in the quarterfinals, and the U.S. women's soccer team faces Germany in the semifinals. In diving, there's the women's 10-meter platform final and medal matches in wrestling and boxing.
S&P futures up 42. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is preparing for flooding. More than 3 inches of rain could fall overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning in some parts of the state. A flood watch is in effect for an area stretching from Portage and Columbus southeast to the Milwaukee area. The fate of billions of dollars from Washington to Wisconsin is at stake as voters decide whether to amend the state constitution August 13th. Jason Stein is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
It touches every aspect of our lives, from our roads to our social services to education. And this would have far-reaching and far-lasting effects.
Stein spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront. A no vote would keep the power over spending federal money in Wisconsin with the governor. A yes vote would give that power to the legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Brewers hold on to first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers back to a 6-game lead in the NL Central Division. The Pirates are now in second. NFL, the Packers practice all week before they head to Cleveland against the Browns Saturday night. The Badgers offense had a good day in their practicing pads at UW-Platteville. Quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, with his best performance yet, hitting on some deep balls. Head coach Luke Fickell.
It's always going to be a winner. There's always going to be someone that doesn't win. That's the kind of the nature of the game.
And LA Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh, still under fire as new evidence of cheating and sign stealing at Michigan are coming out in an NCAA report.
Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. If you stumble, you apologize
and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
That's Jim Harbaugh with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Lingering showers and thunderstorms this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today, 68, with wind out of the northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, 64. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devils F-Kits radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his curl. Tune in Devils.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Along with meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Greg Bach in Waukesha, and the Lake Wissota studio windows are open for the first time in over a week. There is fresh air flowing through the house. It's a beautiful thing. The heat and humidity have taken a break, Brittany. It came with some thunderstorms and some rain still passing through the area, but this is cool. Oh, this is so gorgeous.
Yes.
How are things by you?
Oh, fantastic. We're already starting to see the sunshine. I don't have any clouds here. It is a gorgeous morning, very crisp as well. And like you said, comfortable. It's nice to have those windows open and the fresh breeze.
But wait, for an opposing view, here's Greg Bach in Waukesha. It's a little black rain cloud.
It is a torrential downpour right now.
Aw, sorry you live south.
Hey, you know what? I don't buy that sympathy, Merlot.
You can tell the sarcasm in my voice.
Yeah. So you go way up and you see Tony and Ashland's posting, finally, a nice chill in the air. Got my Packers sweatshirt on with some coffee. Good morning. It's a good morning. Rob from Tigerton says that autumn feel. How nice is that?
Rob, we hope you're doing better, feeling good.
Yep. Very much so. Won't have that kind of heat that took them down the other day for at least for a little while. We're all 70s. We're riding the 70s train this week.
Oh,
somebody call the OJs. It's a love train of 70s. Tell us more.
Yes. Today, high temperatures are going to be in the low 70s, the further south that you live, because it's still raining. You still have the cloud cover, so you're not going to get as warm. But everyone else up north, mid 70s will be the highest temperature today. Breezy with winds out of the northeast, gusting up to 15 to 20 miles per hour. So pulling in that crisp, refreshing, no humidity kind of air. And it does feel like fall this morning. So that's going to be the case as we go through the day today. Tomorrow, we get a bump a little bit warmer into the mid to upper 70s with plenty of sunshine. And we're holding off on all rain chances until Thursday. And that'll be in the northern half of the state.
All right. And Rob, by the way, from Tigerton says, good morning. Skies are clearing from the northwest, 55. Picked up 1.7 inches of rain on Monday. Much more comfortable. And Greg clearly read ahead. He's making a face. I have a summer sausage and jelly sandwich. Rob, you've earned so much goodwill from this program, and you're risking it. Summer sausage and jelly.
Is this savory jelly?
Tell me, it's some kind of a savory jelly of some sort, please. Don't. If you give us any Smucker's flavor, this might really hurt us.
If it's a preserves, get out of my country. I'm serious.
So while we wait to see if Rob adds anything on Facebook, we thank Brittany very much. No, don't do that. Rob says, blame my late mom. Don't do it now.
What are you doing? Come on, Rob.
Oh, Rob. Meanwhile, to clear up something earlier, Tony on YouTube making comments, he was not ripping on your peanut butter
and banana sandwich. It was about the Peeps flavored Pepsi.
Oh yeah, that's just
that we were talking about earlier.
Ew.
That
thank too. You. Okay, Brittany,
thank you.
We're friends again.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Brittany, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. In the Olympics, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the rest of the basketball team from Greece, they've been eliminated by Germany in the quarterfinals of the Olympics. Germany shocking Greece 76-63, despite 22 points from Giannis, and so Germany will now advance to the medal round. The Brewers were off yesterday. They are in Atlanta now for a three-game series that will start tonight. You can catch the pregame at 5:45 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. First pitch is at 6:20 tonight. A reminder that there is an election 1 week from today. Very important election all across the state. There are primary elections in, I believe, 42 assembly districts, 5 state senate districts, 5 congressional districts. But then no matter where you live in Wisconsin, there are 2 questions on the ballot to amend the state constitution that would allow the Republican legislature to hamper even more distribution of funds designed to go to people in need. In this case, it would be able to let the legislature block the distribution of federal aid. Right now, they're blocking state money on all kinds of fronts, about contaminated water and literacy programs and child care assistance and so much more. And they want to be able to do the same, which is why they're sneaking these constitutional amendments onto a ballot in August, when fewer people obviously will be voting compared to November. If you'd like to find out what's on your ballot, you can head to myvote.wi.gov and find out more about whether you have a primary on your ballot from one of these many districts, or if you just have the state constitutional referendums as well. Alicia Saunders writes in on Facebook, as a kid, we would have peanut butter, banana, and honey on a tortilla.
I don't hate that.
It was delicious.
I don't hate that at all.
I know. I would definitely try that one. I feel like we've opened up something cathartic with National Sandwich Month, and we're learning maybe just a little bit about a little too much about some people.
Yeah, I still haven't unleashed my most controversial opinion about sandwiches, but I'm not going to say it today.
Okay. Consider us teased.
Exactly.
Okay. Let me explain the life of a news junkie or a politics junkie. Yesterday was a pinball machine. I am pinballing even as we speak, where I am scrolling to update Twitter. I am bouncing over to my email to check the inbox to look for any news on the running mate. I am keeping an eye out of the corner of my eye. I'm keeping an eye on the TV to see if there's any, banner that shows up on one of the cable channels. I've got Slack for the office, and so I'm looking at all those channels to see if anybody has seen anything that they want to post in terms of running mate news. Then back to Twitter, then back to email, then back to text messaging, because they say if you sign up at the campaign, we'll let you know first who this is. Now, I don't have to do this. I could just sit here and, wait to be spoon-fed by, CNN or whoever. But when you've got the bug, whether it's as in news, politics, or both, you want to be the one telling people what you've learned.
Yeah.
And not, oh, no, really? So, yeah, Tony's actually right on YouTube where he writes, just pay attention to the notifications on your phone. It's the fastest. Probably, but do you know how many junk texts you have to sit through?
Oh, my God.
In the hopes of... And there's been no shortage of groups. Now, in this case, it's on the Democratic side, the progressive side that I'm going to call out. But it's all over the place. But there are so many groups that have nothing to do officially with the campaign or with the Democratic Party. And they're all sending text messages saying, hey, don't you think Kamala Harris is great? Here, donate here.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, not going to her campaign, it's going to some private group. And the same thing's happening to people who are Trump supporters, and their phones are blowing up, and they're going, I don't know what's real and what's not over here. And yet, in my case, you kind of feel like you have to because, like you said, that's how you might get the first word about something happening. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say, for example, it's Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Let's say that he's the one that's picked. There were people last night who were posting about keeping an eye on, you know, they're watching FlightAware or Flight Radar, one of those other apps, you know, looking for any sign that any of these folks are on a private plane getting set to go, when actually several people noted that wouldn't happen if it was Tim Walz. They'd say, these are some of the posts, as if a Midwesterner wouldn't pack their car with 18 hours worth of snacks and leave at a sensible 3 a.m. to beat the traffic to Philadelphia today. Another one writes, you know, Red Bull, beef jerky, Oldsmobile. Who needs an airplane? Here's one that Walz is saying, Kamala, I'll see you at noon. I've mapped out the best gas station pizzas along the way. Another guy writing, Walz would be good because he looks like the sort of solid older guy who always has hard candy in his pocket. And then my favorite, maybe picking Tim Walz is what it will take for Minnesotans to finally stop talking constantly about the Halloween blizzard of 1991. And I can tell you, as somebody who lived in the Twin Cities for the Halloween blizzard of 1991, no, even that's not going to stop us because that was the most ridiculous snowstorm ever. But
yeah,
at least you'll have something else to talk about with Tim Walz and not just the Halloween blizzard.
Tim Walz is definitely the guy who does all those things, gets in the car, he drives there, gets out, mm-hmm. meets Kamala Harris. She goes, how was your trip? He goes, he's going to say the following things. Like, oh, real great. Traffic was fine. Made good time. Yeah. Made good time.
He will say made good time. Yes. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is now playing the role of lost puppy. You know, think of a puppy, a stray that decided to go home with somebody and then realized I've made a bad choice and starts to follow somebody else instead. That'll be J.D. Vance for the next few days because he's basically going to look like he's stalking Kamala Harris and her running mate, because he's already announced that, I don't know if he's in Philly today, but he's going to be in Eau Claire tomorrow. And he's going to be in the other cities and states where they're going, in Michigan, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada. I mean, it makes him look either creepy or thirsty, depending on your point of view. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute, where's the Republican presidential nominee? Maybe he should be really active as well. Well, here's the schedule as Greg mimes playing golf. Again, Kamala Harris and her running mate, Pennsylvania today, Wisconsin and Michigan tomorrow, North Carolina on Thursday, Arizona on Friday, Nevada on Saturday. And then in the other column, here's where Donald Trump's campaign schedule is. Friday, Montana. Montana, a state that he won by something like 19 points last time around. I would not call Montana a swing state, but that's his low energy schedule for this week, a trip to Montana.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got to find his friends somewhere.
So J.D. Vance instead will be making appearances. I'm not quite sure if it's going to be at Economy Furniture in Chippewa Falls or the Ashley Furniture Store in Arcadia, but somewhere J.D. Vance is coming to Western Wisconsin just in time to follow Kamala Harris and the running mate tomorrow. Still working on the details, or waiting to hear the details on the Eau Claire rally for Kamala Harris and running mate. We'll pass that along as soon as we learn more. We'll continue unpacking the news on this Tuesday morning here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matinee on Air.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burgerfest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I warned you the OJs were coming. I have to give proper credit to the folks at the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities for their post saying that we are riding a 70s train of temperatures for the rest of this week, which I don't mind one bit, but hey, it also means you get to bring the OJs up. The daily newsletter from Up North News is available at upnorthnewswi.com. You can get that update every morning, Monday through Friday, from Christina Laurie. A lot about the Wisconsin State Fair and about how the cream puff is turning 100 this year. Plenty of other articles about State Fair food. Meanwhile, on the newsy side of things, an update on the proposal by President Biden and, of course, supported by Vice President Kamala Harris to institute term limits for the U.S. Supreme Court and a more binding and enforceable code of ethics. As Harris put it, there is a clear crisis of confidence facing the Supreme Court as its fairness has been called into question after numerous ethics scandals and decision after decision overturning longstanding precedent. These reforms will help restore confidence in the court, strengthen our democracy, and ensure no one is above the law. And I couldn't agree more. You can read again about that in our newsletter. But back to the Supreme Court. These are, in fact, ethics scandals. And I find it so frustrating that we'd rather talk about, and by we, I mean the media, would rather talk about, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr. and a bear cub and an incident from 10 years ago rather than the very real scandal that has unfolded on our Supreme Court. And it's not just the fact that some of those justices lied during their confirmation hearings about Roe v. Wade being settled law, but it's now about all of the money that we're hearing about, all of the gifts, all of the vacations. Yesterday, the U.S. Senate Finance Committee discovered that another trip from billionaire Harlan Crow hadn't been disclosed by Justice Clarence Thomas. This one was a round trip from Hawaii to New Zealand for a week. Now, that would be bad enough, but it came not long after Citizens United, the decision that basically opened up the spigots to dirty money and corporate money into politics, and after the billionaire Harlan Crow gave Ginny Thomas, Clarence Thomas's wife, $500,000 to start a dark money political group. Now, I'm as frustrated as anybody else who would look at Senate Democrats and wonder, why are you sitting on your hands about this? And the reason why is that Republicans, like it or not, in Congress, managed to inoculate themselves by making up charges first of the things that they were, in fact, guilty of doing, so that when Democrats would do the same thing for cause, they could be accused of, oh, this is just tit for tat. You're just doing this, you know, because you got caught. And what I mean by that is this. During the Trump administration, there were firings without cause, James Comey, the FBI director, being one of them, but there were countless others. None of them for cause, all of them for purely partisan reasons. So that if Democrats now were to take their job seriously and go after officials with credible reasons to investigate them, Republicans would look at them and say, oh, you're just doing that because the Trump administration, you know, went after some Democrats. And that's unfortunate. Give the Republicans credit for being savvy enough to have that kind of a strategy. But that should not stop the pursuit of justice when things are wrong. When you have Supreme Court justices that are clearly corrupted, that are clearly accepting bribes under the guise of gifts. And the Senate should be doing much more about this. And much like the Trump cases, it may not happen right away, but it needs to happen. You know, Trump is not going to be, he's not going to be convicted before Election Day. He's been convicted of 34 felonies already. He's not going to be convicted of trying to stage a coup back in 2020. He's not going to be found guilty, possibly sentenced before Election Day. But the trials will go on so long as Trump himself doesn't become president again. And so while I'm very frustrated with what's happening with the U.S. Supreme Court right now, it is something that I feel pretty confident that next year you'll continue to hear about these incidents of gifts, bribes, whatever we want to call it, especially if the Senate is controlled by people who are pursuing and more interested in justice, not plain politics, but actually pursuing justice. Meanwhile, you've got J.D. Vance, Trump's running mate, who has also been talking about the pursuit of justice, but in a much more violent manner. There is a new book that's out that normally we wouldn't give the time of day to it. It comes from one of these far right, he's described as a provocateur, Jack Prosobiec. And he's known for promoting the conspiracy theory that Democrats were running a satanic child abuse ring below a popular Washington, D.C. pizza restaurant. He's now got a new book out called Unhumans. And remember, one of the hallmarks of authoritarians is that they try to paint their opposition not as somebody with whom we have a disagreement, but as people who are less than human. And he goes right out and puts it in the title, Unhumans. It is just a repugnant book that says people on the left don't deserve the status of human beings, that they are, in the author's words, waging a shadow war against all that is good and decent, which will end in apocalyptic slaughter if they are not stopped. And that progressivism is the latest incarnation of an ancient evil dating back to the Roman Republic and continuing through the French Revolution and communism in Russia, writes Prosobiec. They talk about, Francisco Franco, the Spanish dictator, being a hero, and the same with Augusto Pinochet in Chile. Who would associate themselves with a book like this? Well, the very first blurb in the book is from J.D. Vance. He writes, in the past, communists marched in the streets waving red flags. Today, they march through HR departments, college campuses, and courtrooms to wage lawfare against good, honest people. Jack Prosobiec and Joshua Lysak, the co-author, reveal their plans and show us what to do to fight back. And fight is the right word. There's talk of violence and violent conflict as being necessary for their version of law and order to be restored. They speak again quite favorably about things like dictatorships, and they don't have a problem with what Donald Trump has said about how parts of the Constitution might need to be overthrown or ignored. It is that kind of mindset that's in a book, and one where J.D. Vance has just written a blurb promoting it. Thought you'd like to know. We'll continue unpacking the news and continue on VP Running Mate Watch coming up as Up North News rolls on for this Tuesday morning, August 6th. Back in a bit here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin's detected its first case of West Nile virus this year, and that means animal owners and humans alike might be on high alert with insect protection. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. The announcement came yesterday from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. The first positive West Nile virus case in Chippewa County after it was detected in a dead bird. Dr. Paul Kunde is with the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. He's a Wisconsin area veterinarian, and he said horses in particular need to be protected.
The diseases that horses get are very often transmitted by mosquitoes. And so when we hear of any horse that shows up as positive with one of these diseases, whether it be West Nile virus or one of the encephalitis viruses, horses will be quarantined. There will be follow-up that needs to happen. And really, at that point, it's a matter of making sure that these horses are kept away from other horses. That's step number one. Number two is the buildings that they stay in and the treatments they might get for insect control are in place.
Dr. Paul Kunde is a veterinarian with the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. He said veterinarians normally recommend that horse owners have their animals vaccinated for the West Nile virus. And he said you can also work around the farm, making sure you're practicing good mosquito control as well.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compere Financial's Agri Mindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag, and you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compere's next Agri Mindset webinar at compere.com/register. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
And today is a major milestone for a lot of farm families across the state of Wisconsin. At State Fair Park in West Allis, 122 farms will be recognized meeting the century or sesquicentennial milestone for their farms and homes, meaning they've had that same farm or home in their family for more than 100 years. We're sharing their stories now at MidwestFarmReport.com. You can listen under the Century Sesquicentennial tab or follow us on social media today, Midwest Farm Report. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Lingering showers and thunderstorms this morning, then gradually becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today, 68, with wind out of the northeast at 15 to 25. Tonight, clear, 64. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Good at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Building a mystery.
Yes, still a mystery. Welcome to our segment where we were going to talk all about the person named Kamala Harris's running mate. At least that's really what I thought was going to happen late yesterday. Joke's on me. I'm like, you know what? We're not going to book a guest for 7:30. We're going to need this time to talk about, you know, Governor Shapiro or Governor Walz or Senator Kelly or something like that. Go through all the ramifications. And to read some of these reports, and again, take them with a grain of salt. But, you know, there were two different posts saying that the vice president said she wanted to sleep on it one more time and would make her decision in the morning. Personally, I don't believe that. I think there's just way too much prep involved in all this. But everybody is hiding their cards really well. You know, you had Josh Shapiro playing basketball in his driveway with his kid last night. You had Tim Walz going about his business, going to a Kamala Harris fundraiser and, you know, making small talk with the folks while he was there. How would you do? How would I do in trying to keep something that big to yourself until it's time to make that announcement? Wouldn't that just be crazy? You're going to be like, I got to tell you something.
I know that I could tell two people for sure. I could tell my wife, Bridget, because I know she would keep it a secret. She would not tell anybody because she knows the ramifications. And then I could tell my best friend, Amber, because I know that in the end she'd be like, yeah, I don't care. so she'd be like, I'm going to go back to work now. Can you tell me more important things later? So yeah. I can only do that. But yeah, if you said you can't tell him, like, you shouldn't tell me at all then.
Yeah. Let's catch up on a few of the comments from the text line around here. Although I do want to pass along, Tony says it would be so hard not to drop hints. But that's the thing. You think you're going to be clever and drop a hint? Like, maybe I'd say something like, you know, I'm going to go in the next room and watch Veep. Okay. I'll be over here if you need me.
This announcement is going to be from the windows to the walls.
Exactly.
What?
Matt in Germantown on the text line, 855-75-CIVIC, again, 855-75-CIVIC, regarding Peacock and watching Olympic coverage and eventually the Packers game. He says they do a Thanksgiving promo, $22 for the whole year or something like that. So,
wow.
I think what I need to do is I need to pick, you know, what service am I watching the least and let that one go. Mm. Although I let Hulu go once before, and then this little show called Only Murders in the Building showed up, and I couldn't stop hearing about it, so I signed up again. I've got HBO because of Game of Thrones. Ugh. I watched virtually nothing on HBO since Game of Thrones was done. How many years ago was that? Still getting that, you know?
Do you watch the John Oliver?
I do love the John Oliver. That's why I haven't given it up. It's the one thing. I'm like, I'm paying for this guy.
See,
but it's worth it, you know? Tony's getting rid of Paramount Plus, he says.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
I would totally get rid of that, but that was a birthday present for Bridges. And also, we're the hub. Like, the amount of people who have our streaming services, it takes a lot in me not to turn into an old man and be like, so who's going to give us one of their streaming services then?
Right. from the text line, Matt also texted in a couple of things on National Sandwich Month. He gets into is a burger a sandwich? What about a hot dog? You know, we don't have time to twist our brains around these things. We're just going the traditional route here. But Matt also said, the Halloween blizzard of 1991, we're back to that again, was a terrible storm. I couldn't go trick-or-treating. I was 3 years old. My daughter was 2 years old, and we had a two-year-old and a newborn. And Sherry, God bless her, tried to take the two-year-old trick-or-treating in horizontal snow, made two doors, maybe three, and said, this is dumb.
And then someone called Child Protective Services.
Right. Yes. Yeah. You'd almost, but in the Midwest, you have those Halloweens where why do you even have a costume? Because you're going to have a winter coat over it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'd made my case previously that Halloween needs to be moved. We need to take it back, take it back a month instead of October, make last day of October, make it the last day of September. Why not?
I have Pat Kreitlow, 2024.
There's my edgy campaign promise. I'm serious.
Okay.
Why can't we do that?
Why can't we? I dare you. I dare you to try and make that a serious push. All the goths will come for you.
All the goths. I suppose there's a reason why nobody else has brought it up before. The goths got it.
Yeah.
Japan's Nikkei is much higher, soaring 10% in early trading today, the day after that huge plunge that took Wall Street along for the ride. But as has been noted, and as you'll hear in this clip from an analyst on Fox News, it's one thing for the markets to correct overpriced stocks, and in Japan's case, to push back against higher interest rates. But when wages are still up, when employment is still up, when inflation is still moving in a downward direction, the last thing you want to be doing is panicking, no matter how much these hosts on Fox News are trying to get this analyst to panic.
Robert, you cover the economy as well. If we're headed for a recession, how difficult could this be for Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I'd love to debate both you guys on the economy. GDP's higher. Jobs is higher, wages is higher. The stock market's up huge under Biden. This idea of what you guys are talking about, there's more 2,000-day losses under President Trump than 500-day losses under Joe Biden. We should get the facts right on where the economy is. Bill, you do a great job on that. But we know that Friday was, if not for the outstanding 15 million plus jobs of the Biden-Harris campaign over the last 3.5 years, 140,000 less plus is normal jobs. There's not going to be a recession. I actually think that there's a possibility that we're going to have the August numbers look incredibly strong.
Well, a lot of those recovery jobs coming back, we know that. But listen, the markets are spooked to the end of last week based on that job.
A lot of them were not. I love every so often they'll put somebody on like my friend Dan Cannon, or Pete Buttigieg, and it'll just set them straight, and they look so flustered when somebody actually hits them with facts.
Well, and Tommy Lahren, who I could talk about for hours, she just has this smug look on her face, like you don't know what you're talking about, and she's shaking her head like he is an expert, you are not, and. Yeah. This incredulous feeling towards expertise is so infuriating.
Expertise. Oh, that's elitist. That's very elitist.
I know. I'm an East Coast elitist from Wisconsin, son of a truck driver.
To be an expert on something is so elitist. Another business note that's worth noting. Boy, you can tell this guy worked on his notes furiously today. Here's something else in business worth noting. That a judge has ruled against Google in an antitrust case that's very reminiscent of a ruling in 2000 against Microsoft. And while neither one of these cases has the immediate everyday impact of, say, the breakup of AT&T way back in the day, the judge breaking up the Microsoft monopoly actually did help us enjoy more options for browser services and prevented a monopoly grip on the development of the internet back in the day. Well, now a federal judge has said the same thing about Google and the search industry and the way that it was stifling rivals in a way to protect its monopoly. And I really liked some of the things that the judge had to say. In that you can be big in the marketplace, but you can't use that bigness to be unfair. Here's how Bill Baer, a former top antitrust official in the Justice Department, put it. He said the Google ruling is significant because it applies to big tech platforms the notion that while you can be dominant, you can't abuse that dominance. And that's what Google has now been found guilty of. And as a result, I think we may, again, see improvements in search engines. I remember when Google first came on the scene. I'd actually gone to, I was working for Channel 13 at the time. I was at a Poynter Institute conference for journalists. And one of the reporters was giving a talk all about this brand new thing called Google. And how, think of all the search engines we had before. There was, I remember Ask Jeeves, and I'm sure everybody had one or another. And Google's searches were so much better. so much more broad-based. You could find so many more things. It was a wonder at the time. But I know I'm not the only person who has said it feels like Google has lost something on their fastball. You know, when it comes to what they're coming back with, you feel like you're not getting everything, and you wouldn't mind trying something else. But everybody that's tried to become a competitor to Google has found that they can't get into the market because this browser or this computer maker or this phone maker has set up Google to be the default search engine because Google paid them a bucket of money to do that. And a judge has finally said, that's not just incentive, that's monopolistic. And so maybe we'll get some better options.
I mean, I am a Google user. I have a Google phone, Google laptop, and I use the Google suite of office things. And when you entangle yourself so much in that world, it's hard to see what you're talking about because I just instinctively go there. I feel like if I'm using all our stuff, I'm going to get the best searches. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't think about the optimization or options I have. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, are we really still... we're telling a company they're a monopoly, we're doing this again, this is happening again. I felt like Google going to court was a fool's errand because they're Google. If oil companies can pay $100 million in fines and still be like, we didn't have any fault, I'm like, Google will be fine. But this is very interesting, and we'll see where this goes in the next few months.
Yeah, I mean, experts say they might, for example, be forced to split off their Chrome browser. You can be in the search business, but you can't be in the browser business. They might force them to get rid of the Android mobile operating system. And again, let somebody else take that, in much the same way that when Ma Bell was broken up, AT&T was now just the long distance company. Later, a cell phone company too, but at the time, just the long distance company. And all the baby bells, like Wisconsin Bell became Ameritech, became something, I don't even know what it became because nobody has landlines anymore. Yeah. But you saw the breakup into individual companies and more innovation, and that's what I think this judge is trying to get at there. One more note to pass along from the political world that I didn't have time for yesterday, so I think a lot of folks have seen this by now. But Congressman Derek Van Orden had claimed that he was viciously assaulted, attacked by this woman at the Republican National Convention. She was like elbowed in the ribs or something like that. And this woman consequently was arrested or detained. And detained for something like 15 hours before being released really late at night over this notion that she had assaulted a member of Congress. Well, WISN-TV has now obtained the police body cam footage.
Let me guess.
It was not a vicious assault.
Yeah.
It doesn't even rise to the level of an NBA flop, when somebody's going for the basket and they act as if somebody shot them from the Texas School Book Depository.
Even James Harden was like, dude, you're overdoing it. All right. That was my NBA reference for the day. Come back next year when I have another one. You know what really bothers me, though, about Pat, is that this happened, what, like 4 or 5 days after the attempt on President Trump?
Yeah.
And Derek Van Orden referred to it as political violence.
Right.
And
he put out this very strong statement about it. And I'm wondering if things shouldn't go the other way. That does this rise to the level that Derek Van Orden filed a false police report? I mean, you look at that body cam footage and you wonder if the woman involved here might not have a case. So maybe Congressman Van Orden could tone it down a bit from, political violence claims to that childish behavior, in front of the Crawford County Democratic office over the weekend, where he littered their office with signs and buttons, and maybe concentrate instead on how, while the Democratic primary in the 3rd Congressional District is, shall we say, spirited right now, somebody is going to come out of that primary a week from today and find a united Democratic Party seeing a seat that is ripe for the picking, at least with every incident that Derek Van Orden provides on his own, nobody's forcing him to do these foolish things. Chad Holmes will tell us what's coming up on his...
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Get ready, Waukesha. Here comes Y2K, your 2000s tribute band straight out of Chicago, playing all the hits from the dawn of a new millennium. Join us on August 13th at the beautiful Frame Park Amphitheater located at 1240 Frame Park Drive for Tribute Tuesday. From 7 to 9 p.m., Y2K will be rocking the stage with all of your favorite 2000 anthems from the Backstreet Boys, Blink-182, Destiny's Child, Taylor Swift, Carly Rae Jepsen, Shania Twain, Pink, Miley Cyrus, Fall Out Boy, and more. It's an outdoor concert, so don't forget to bring the lawn chairs and blankets to kick back and enjoy the show. Mark your calendars and join us for an unforgettable evening of music, memories, and fun. That's Y2K at Frame Park Amphitheater, 1240 Frame Park Drive on August 13th from 7 to 9 p.m. See you there.
If you can't make it in person, hear the entire show live on 540 AM WAUK, starting at 7 p.m. Sponsored by the Waukesha Parks Rec and Forestry Department.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Chad Holmes joins us now on Up North News Radio, where my phone is blowing up and saying that there is something coming soon, and I am not in a position to say that it is somebody or another, only to tell you that there are a lot of posts about Tim Walz right now. But again, people could just be looking at cars outside his house and reading way too much into this. But it is Chad Holmes. It seems a lot like draft day, where they're saying the pick is in. And so now you wait to see what name comes up on the scoreboard. And I hate likening politics to sports as often as other folks do. But in this case, the pick is in, Chad Holmes.
Well, it's better than the mock drafts. And unfortunately, yes, we've seen a lot of mock drafts over the last couple of weeks. And I have to very respectfully disagree with something you said earlier.
Pat, hey, Pat.
Yeah. Yes.
We have breaking news.
Oh, yes.
It is Tim Walz.
Okay.
Tim Walz is going to be Vice President Harris's pick for vice president for the nomination of the 2024 presidential campaign. I almost said Olympics.
And who are you talking to, and where are they getting
this?
This
is from Jim Acosta. Coming through on Twitter right now, CNN anchor. He is reporting it right now. Tim Walz will be her running mate.
Okay, so that's Jim Acosta, and now I'm seeing somebody from Bloomberg putting it down there. Others are passing along the CNN news as well.
I see ex-user at Musk Trump 69 is also reporting it.
Chad, like the guy who liked jelly with his sandwich, get out of my country.
That was summer sausage and jelly, by the way. Yes. Now they're here's a Caitlin Collins from CNN is citing four people close to the process as saying that it will, in fact, be Governor Tim Walz. So, well,
congratulations, Jim and Caitlin. You got it before the announcements.
Yes.
Congratulations, everybody.
Yep.
And by the way, I respectfully disagree with something you said earlier. That
The sports guy is about to chime in here.
Yeah, Chad's getting spicy already in the morning.
You acted like, we shouldn't be talking about this RFK Jr. thing with the bear. I think that is something worth talking about, more than speculating for 18 different segments on who the vice presidential candidate is going to be. I think that because when you look at the numbers that he's ultimately going to get, they could swing Wisconsin, they could swing Pennsylvania, they could swing. I mean, I think that we need to throw water on this celebrity fetish this country has with, if you have a certain name or a certain celebrity, you get 5% of the vote just off the top. I
couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more with that. It is absolutely essential that we try to get this celebrity component out of things.
And he's out of his mind.
there is that.
That's why I asked about John Oliver, because he talked about RFK Jr. in depth, and it was
scary,
scary, disturbing, terrifying. And he kept saying, like, he's a Kennedy. It's like so weird to me. But yeah, guys, can I just take a moment? I got to break news on radio and that felt pretty cool. All right.
As well, you should. Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing, because we had, I was running late, so I was going to grab one of our t-shirts, and on the back of it says "All Truth and No Bull" for Bull Falls Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And unfortunately, it would have been a wonderful little thing to put up here, but I was running late, so I couldn't grab it out of the closet. You said earlier, well, in the hour, I guess I'm just going to be correcting you for the entire segment here today.
But by all means, that's what I'm here for.
You said Germany shocked Greece in Olympic basketball.
I was just
Germany was the favorite. And I'm not a shock. So.
I was rattling off AP copy in that case. That one was not me. That was, yes. Yep. The fault there lies with whomever I ripped and read.
All right, so, I am done with my corrections for you.
It's okay. I think every like any good newspaper, you need a correction section over here. You need an ombudsman. Ooh. So thank you for
that is so 1990s past.
I know that crazy 20th century thinking.
No one has editors anymore. It's just, you know, it's all out there.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
So away we go on Tim Walz, and there will be a lot to say. The story that we're about to publish on our website will note that Walz made school lunches free for all students, create a paid family and medical leave program, increased public school funding, legalized recreational marijuana, made abortion a fundamental right under state law, and, perhaps for some people best of all, protected fans buying tickets online to see Taylor Swift. And to all of these things, Tim Walz pleads guilty and in fact said rather tongue-in-cheek to one interviewer, yeah, what a monster, huh?
Yeah.
that's what we're going to get from Tim Walz.
Kids are going to have full bellies so they can learn.
Yep.
Oh. I will say, I frankly, other than some of the stuff that you just talked about, I do not know Tim Walz all that well over in this. I think maybe over in the western part of the state, you probably get a lot more Minneapolis television coverage and probably see a lot more of him. I like the idea, like you said there, that he was able to think on his feet to, you know, make a comment like that, because I do think that that's one of the things about Mayor Pete, that as this whole thing kept going and going and going, I was hoping for him, because I understood the whole reasons probably why.
You understand if Kamala Harris wins, he's not going anywhere.
No.
He'll probably, I mean, there's talk that he would be Secretary of State.
Exactly. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that to get over the finish line in November, I think he would have been the type of guy that's because, again, all these others are unknown. I mean, could it be, again, like a Tim Kaine that turned into just a big I mean,
that's not going to be this guy, Greg.
I sure hope so.
I'm going to ask a question here, and you know, please know who I am and the things I believe in. But I don't know if America is ready to vote for a woman of color with a gay man on the ticket as well.
I agree 100%.
And I hate that. I hate that to death.
And I hate, and instead you're going to watch Tim Walz take on folks like that with that kind of mindset, and find such wonderful ways to disarm them. There's a reason he won. He's not an overnight sensation, folks.
No.
He represented a congressional district in southern Minnesota for 10 years, a Republican district. This Democrat won this Republican district for 10 years for a reason. So it's not about him helping carry Minnesota. That's safe now. But Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, he is absolutely going to connect with them. And Chad, I sense you will have plenty to talk about over the coming 2 hours.
I certainly think so. And let's have 4 vice presidential debates. Let's
well, okay, in 4 years. Or 8, as the case may be.
The more you forget with J.D. Vance, the better.
Yes, please, please, please. Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
I'm J.D. in Eau Claire tomorrow.
Of course I will. Yes, I'll be over at Slumberland for that. Right. All right. Thank you. Greg will be having a lot more to say over with Matt and Air on Air at 10 a.m. Thank you, gentlemen. And thanks to all of you for being part of our day. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great day.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Tom Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome writer, comedian, producer Tony Boswell. And from Reno 911 and Night at the Museum, the incredibly talented Thomas Lennon.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Matt Nair on air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.